the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
You better bet!
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell, ahead of a massive, massive game at Soldier Field, Bears and Rams divisional round. Joining me once again on the podcast, Herb Howard from the Bigs. Herb, before we get into the Rams game, I saw you right after that Bears-Packers one down in the tunnels. We were set to head into the locker room. Man, this team's something, dude. It's incredible the way they continue to win and not give in. But what a game against Green Bay.
KP, it was insane. Like, as many times as we've seen this happen throughout this season, it felt like no way, right? It's the playoffs, it's the Packers, no way. It's 21-6 going into the fourth quarter, 21-3 and a half, obviously. And they start to try to chip away at it. But even when Green Bay went down and Matt Golden got the touchdown, I was like, okay, that's the nail in the coffin right there. They aren't going to do this now. It's 6:36 left. They're down 11. They missed the extra point, missed the other field goal, and just leave the door cracked, and you leave the door cracked for the 2025 Bears, and they're going to kick it down somehow.
Yeah, and I think one part of the game that maybe we've overlooked or not talked about a ton just because of the drama that unfolded late in that game and just the way the whole game played out, Richard Hightower's unit was great. Cairo Santos was clutch. Duvernay had a couple nice returns. They didn't have any mistakes, which is goal number one, right? So I don't think that's how they're coaching it up, but you don't really want to be talking about special teams because that's probably means something bad happened. But no, I thought Cairo was clutch for them in the moments, and Green Bay wasn't. I mean, they had three missed kicks, two field goals. Ben Johnson iced them going into the half, had the missed extra point. When he missed that last one, I'm like, no way, this is going to happen. So it was a great night for Richard Hightower's special teams unit.
No, they did. They stepped up to the task every single time they were called upon. They just continued to play well. Cairo was clutch. He understands what it is to kick at Soldier Field when it's cold, when the wind is swirling. He understands that better than anybody. And, you know, when he was called upon, he came through, and for the Packers, they just couldn't get it done. You start to get the sense that, you know, the Packers had got that feeling that the Bears have had for so long going against Green Bay. And it's just that, oh my God, it's about to happen again feeling. They're about to come steal this game from us. And that's been the Bears' experience for, you know, the last 30 years. But on Saturday night, you can feel that energy from the Packers. Like, oh my God, the same thing that happened to us in game two of the regular season is about to happen again. And the closer the Bears got, the tighter the Green Bay Packers seem to be. You can feel it in their play calling. You can see it in their body language. And certainly you saw it in the kicking game.
Dan Hampton does pre and post here at WGN. He comes on with us throughout the week. And last Friday, ahead of the game, I was on air. We were talking about just the rivalry. And, you know, I talked about Ben and Caleb, and maybe things could be moving more into Chicago's favor when it comes to this rivalry. And Hamp said, it feels like a fair fight now, which I thought was perfectly put. And that's because of Ben Johnson and because of Caleb Williams. Especially with Ben, you know you're going to go into a game. He's not going to be out-schemed, right? Like, you feel like the team is going to be more prepared than maybe with previous coaching staff. So it feels like a fair fight now, Herb. Do you kind of view it that way?
Yeah, it feels like a rivalry, right? That's the name we've tagged this thing with. But for the past 30 years, it hasn't been that. It's been a very one-sided battle. I know the love years the Bears had some wins there, but for the majority of the time over the last 30 years, it has not been a rivalry. It's been complete dominance by the Green Bay Packers, and now you do have a fair fight, and that is what a rivalry is, a fair fight, one swing after another. And, you know, for the Bears, you look up and they've won three of the last four, you know, against the Packers getting back to the last game last year. So definitely the rivalry is back on. It's good to be back on. I think it's good for football. It's certainly good for Chicago.
I love Ben Johnson leaning into this rivalry. I love what he said in the locker room. I love how he's embracing it. And he didn't back down from it. He was asked at Halas Hall earlier in the week, you know, just the F the Packer thing and the brief handshake with LaFleur and really embracing it. He said he was prepared for the question. He goes, this is a rivalry. It needs to be a rivalry. I think it's great because what other coaches have been doing here in Chicago hadn't been working. Go all in on this rivalry.
No, it's the absolute epitome of standing on business. Like, people thought he might back down or it was the emotion of the moment. No, I don't like them. I don't have to like them. This is a rivalry. It is what it is. I said what I said, and I'm standing on it. And I got a ton of respect for, you know, his demeanor, his confidence. It's a little brash. It's a little cocky, but whatever. You know, if you put that, if you put those things out there, and you can go out there and back them up, then good for you.
I have enjoyed probably more than I should the social media videos of Packer fans completely melting down after that game.
Because
I don't feel for them. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the Bear. You're feeling what Bears fans have felt for three straight decades now. One big blow after another. So it's a rivalry. Buckle up. Ben Johnson's put him on notice. I think it's been great for the city, great for the team, the organization. It is time to move on to the Rams as we record this on Friday, a couple days ahead of a monster game at Soldier Field. My prediction, a Bears victory. I'm just feeling it. I think this team believes in themselves. And I've got Bears 26, Rams 24. How is Herb Howard feeling going into this one?
I feel better than I felt going into last week, I'll tell you that. Oh. You know, just history just had made me feel a lot of trepidation and angst going into that Packers game. And, you know, it started out that way. It's like, oh, my God. But coming out of that game and just looking at what this game is and the matchups that are involved, I feel pretty good about the Bears' chances going into this game. I think, obviously, they're dealing with an explosive offense. They've got two phenomenal receivers in Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. But styles make fights. And I actually think that the Bears' cornerbacks, Jalen Johnson, Nashawn Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, I think they're better suited to match up against guys like Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua than they are some of those smaller, twitchier guys. Now, that's not to disrespect who Devontae and Puka are. They're absolutely phenomenal, two of the best receivers in the league. You give them all the respect in the world. But just stylistically, I think the corners are better suited against those types of receivers. So I expect the Rams to put up points and move the ball. But I also expect the Bears offense to be able to have their way against the Rams defense that has been pretty poor the past several weeks. And so I think they're giving like 28 points a game, something like that. And I think the Bears are going to be able to move the ball and score the ball when they want to, and whether they want to do it through the ground or through the air or on the ground, I think they'll be able to have some success. So I'm actually feeling pretty good about it, KP. I'm picking the Bears 34-24.
Matthew Stafford is doing just about everything well. He puts up big numbers against the blitz. The front four for the Bears, I thought second half played pretty well, actually. I know fans still want to see more out of Montez Sweat, who I think is a good player. Is he an elite pass rusher? No. They need a big, big performance from this defensive line. But considering Stafford's success against the blitz and really against most looks, as Ben Johnson said, what do you think DA dials up Sunday nights?
I mean, I think they're going to be who they have been, to be honest with you. I think they'll have whatever game plan they're going to have. I think you can't sit in zone because Matt Stafford will pick you apart there. You don't want to over blitz him because he'll burn you on that too. But I think they'll have a solid game plan for how they want to go about approaching it. I think it's just, do they have the ability to come up with, you know, two or three stops and key possessions? Can they do those things? Can they find a way to take the ball away? Matt Stafford, for all of the arm talent that he has, that supreme confidence sometimes leads him to put the ball in harm's way. And we know the Bears have taken the ball away better than any team in the league this year. So can they find a way to take the ball away? Can they find a way to come up with the key stop in a critical possession? I think you're talking about two or three stops. And I think they can find those things. Do I expect them to play different than they have all year in terms of, you know, consistently getting pressure on the quarterback or stopping the run? No, I don't expect them to do that. I expect them to be who they are. They've given up yards specifically between the 20s all year long. They try to play stingy red zone defense, and they try to take it away from you. I just think they'll find a way for a couple possessions to make the plays they need to make and give the Bears offense a couple more possessions to put up the 10-point spread I think the Bears will win with.
Are you surprised? I asked a couple of players this at Hallis Hall this week, asked Montez Sweat, I think I asked Kyler about it, that, you know, do they view themselves as the underdog story here? Because you look, this is the second straight home game. They're the two seed, and they're an underdog. So, and I understand the way they've been winning and thinking maybe it's a little fluky or not sustainable. Well, they've done it, what, 7-8 times this year? where they've come back right. late in the game. It's part of who they are. Right. And, you know, they didn't really say, oh, we view it that way, but it's starting to kind of feel that way. I mean, it seems like outside of Chicago, most people are completely overlooking this year's Bears team. And I think most are picking the Rams to win this one. They're a big, I think, 4.5-point favorite over the Bears. But it does still, even with the Bears in the divisional round, final eight teams, that a lot of people are still overlooking this Chicago Bears squad.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they see the results and they see them, you know, coming back from these games. And, you know, they don't think that that's sustainable, although they've already done it seven times, like you said. So,
yeah.
Listen, I just think that people don't give them the credit they would give a team who didn't necessarily have to come back over and over again. And I understand that from an outside perspective, but with us being around this team all the time, we've come to understand just how resilient they are, how much they're going to fight and claw to the very, very last second of each and every game that they're in. But we also understand the amount of talent that's on this roster and the belief that they have in themselves and the great leadership that starts with Ben Johnson and extends throughout the coaching staff. So we know them to be a very formidable opponent for anybody. I understand why people on the outside don't, but it's just another opportunity for them to go and show people who they are.
I just expect a close one, Herb, and I realize a lot of people probably are just because the way this season has played out. Every game, for the most part, has been close. Like, they blew out Dallas. They were blown out by Detroit. They had the comfortable win, for the most part, against Cleveland. Other than that, edge-of-your-seat type stuff all season, Herb. I just don't see the Rams pulling away in this one. I don't. I think it's just going to be another close nail-biter on Sunday. I do.
Yeah, it could potentially be, you know, a game similar to the one we saw in San Francisco when it was an absolute shootout and, you know, who's going to have the ball last kind of situation almost. Didn't work out for the Bears in that situation. This could potentially be the same. The defense is going to have to find a way to contend with that high-powered offense, and you're not gonna stop them. You got to find ways to limit them, especially in certain situations. I think it's going to be a really, really entertaining game. I don't think the offense, the Bears' offense, will allow the Rams to run away from them. I think the Bears' offense has a big advantage on the Rams' defense. I do like the Rams' defensive front. Their defensive linemen are really, really good. I think Jerry Verse. I think he can wreck your game plan. Obviously, Young has 12 sacks, so they can do some things up front. But I think on the back end, the Bears should have a pretty significant advantage. And, you know, for that reason, I don't think the Rams can run away from the Bears.
Yeah, and I think the Bears really, really, really got to find a way to start running the football again, because that was such a strength for the middle part of the season. It was slow to begin the year. Then it was their strength in the past few games. Really not a whole bunch, Herb. DeAndre Swift had 54 yards on 13 carries, but as a team, they averaged just over 3 yards a carry against Green Bay. They're going to need to run the football on Sunday. How about Colston Loveland all of a sudden looking like one of the best tight ends in football? Because it was a slow start to the season. He has been Caleb's go-to target. I don't know if there's a pass catcher on the Bears right now I have more faith or trust in than Colston Loveland, but he has been massive, especially earlier in the year. We were all kind of wondering, hey, did you really need to take this guy with the 10th overall pick? It looks like it's paid off.
It's paid off in spades, and I think what's cool about it is it's paid off exactly in the way that they said it would, or in terms of the reasoning why they made him the first tight end off the board. A lot of people wanted Tyler Warren if you were going to go tight end at that spot. They wanted Colston Loveland because they thought he created more of a mismatch against defenses. They don't think any linebackers can cover him because of his speed, and they don't think the DBs have enough size to deal with him. And I think you saw, you know, the absolute epitome or embodiment of that in the two-point conversion when the Bears went three tight ends and, you know, the Rams bring in their heavy package to kind of deal with that, and then the Bears spread them out, and now you've got a mismatch that is absolutely terrifying for most linebackers in this league, not all of them. You got Colston Loveland split out wide against a linebacker, and it was stealing for Caleb and Colston. I mean, it was a good throw and a good catch. It was a tight window in terms of where he wanted to put the ball, but in terms of Colston winning on the route, there was absolutely no doubt about that. So that's exactly, you know, what we heard from Ryan Poles when they said, you know, why they took Colston with the as the top tight end in the draft, and you're starting to see that pay out over and over again, man. He is absolutely phenomenal.
Peter Schrager, who I'm a big fan of for ESPN, he had some reports, not really a report, just sort of an observation that, like, no love lost between Sean McVay and Ben Johnson. That's sort of a little storyline here developing going into this one. Sean McVay buddies with Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur's brother is also a member of Sean McVay's staff. And it sounds like McVay doesn't exactly like what he's hearing from Ben Johnson when he's directing the rivalry towards LaFleur and the quick handshake. There's a fun little storyline developing here, Herb.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Okay. You know, Ben Johnson doesn't care. Like, he's going at everybody. Like, he does not care.
Whatever. I'm not here to be y'all friends. I'm here to come to this league and dominate. I remember his introductory press conference, and you know how we have the, you know, breakout sessions after the main press conference where we get to have a little bit more intimate conversations and a little bit more of a relaxed setting. I asked him in that setting, I was like, Where do you get this confidence from that you just displayed out there in your press conference? And I liked it. It wasn't nothing I had a problem with. I just wanted to know, like, where it come from. You know what I mean? And he said, look, man, he said, when I was the tight ends coach, I was the best tight ends coach in the league. When I was offensive coordinator, I coordinated the best offense in the league. It ain't going to be no different, man. Like, this is going to be the same way. And I just like the way he brings it. And he's drawing his line in the sand. He don't like the Packers or Matt LaFleur or nothing to do with him. So if that's your friend or if your brother, his brother on your side, so what? I say what I said. I don't like dude. If that's a problem, do something.
Like, I know. It's amazing.
I love it. I love it. It's very Chicago. It's very, very Chicago. I love it.
And he's bringing a different edge they have been lacking, you know. And I think, you know, seeing the relationship between Caleb and Ben develop has been huge. I mean, Caleb got a little bit emotional after the game talking about Ben and how much he's meant to him. And I think Ben's exactly what Caleb needed, you know, a guy that's really going to direct him and push him. And we're seeing all of that work out between the coach and the quarterback, which is, I think, you know, we've had some like 2018 was a special year here in Chicago. Even that season, there were still, like, is Mitch really the guy? Like, is he going to be the quarterback? Mm-hmm. The defense is dominant. Right now, like, the cherry on top of this season, it's clear they have their quarterback and their head coach, right? And things can change. Things can change quickly in the NFL. But this looks like something we can ride with for a long time in Chicago.
Yeah, it seems very sustainable. I mean, Ben Johnson, like you said, he is exactly what Caleb needed. He's exactly what this organization needed. He comes in, he has the knowledge, obviously, in the scheme, and he can teach it, and he can teach the details and, you know, the execution. He's able to do those things. And then he also brings the energy and the passion and the swagger that this team has needed for quite some time. And so I think he's been exactly what Caleb needed. Listen, Caleb was on his way to becoming the next uber-talented quarterback that failed in Chicago because they didn't put the right infrastructure around him in terms of coaching and systems and the offensive line and adding the ample weaponry around him. That was the narrative for Justin. That was the narrative for Mitch. That was the narrative for Jay Cutler in a lot of ways. Like, it's just been, that's just what it is. So, you know, and you come out in Caleb's rookie year and they lose 10 games in a row. Like, as talented as he is, that was the trajectory. And then you bring in Ben Johnson, you revamp the offensive line, and you put a full team around him with proper infrastructure and competent coaching, and you allow his natural talent, his God-given ability, but also his work ethic to come out. And it's a match made in heaven, and I understood why he was getting emotional and speaking of it, because he felt that last year. He went through that last year. He was quarterback of all 10 of those losses. He understood what that was, and it's like, man, I'm really talented in there. I'm going to blow it here. This is why there were conversations about whether or not he wanted to come here. So, you know, to get somebody to come in and change all of that is absolutely phenomenal. It's good for him. It's good for the Bears.
That's Herb Howard from the Bigs. Follow him on Twitter at HerbHoward411. Covers the Bears for the Bigs Media. Does a great job doing it. Herb, I can't wait. Sunday, it's going to be electric at Soldier Field. I will see you there, my friend.
I'll see you up there, KP.
That is Herb Howard from the Bigs. Appreciate Herb jumping on. But, yeah, I am feeling a victory here. Bears 26, Rams 24. Close one. Maybe Cairo with a game winner. Maybe a game-winning drive from Caleb late. I know it's going to be electric. If you're going, have fun. Stay warm. Going to be a cold one. Maybe the weather does factor in here. Maybe bear weather is a real thing for once. It will be cold on the lakefront. Going to be a great setting for the divisional round matchup between the Bears and Rams. Buckle up. Going to be fun. Thanks again to Herb for joining me. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. I'm Kevin Powell. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.